Good morning, Poplar Springs. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Micah Roberts. I'm actually interning here at Poplar Springs with Andy, Catherine, and Nicole, so you may see me around a bit. Feel free to talk to me. You know. Today for our announcements, next Sunday is World Communion, and we will be doing our best to try and still be a part of that. It may look a little different than things may have been done before, but we will still be doing that in appropriate ways. Along with that, next Sunday we will also be meeting together. So we will no longer have separate meetings by last name. We'll actually be trying to meet together for the first time. So that's some exciting news. That will also be applied for Sunday school, for kids and youth. That will also be trying to be worked together. Adult classes can still meet at their own discretion. If anyone still has receipts, they need to be turned in tomorrow at the latest. We are also currently raising funds for a new church van. Weekly updates will be given in the newsletter. This Wednesday also starts a new round of youth. This week will be 11th, 12th, and half of the 6th graders. If you need any more information on that, there are details and an email. Wednesday night prayer meeting will be at 6 in the sanctuary. Now, let us continue in worship.
Love of God. to me. Snow wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down.
As we come to our time of community at prayer, a reminder that Jimmy Queen is the deacon of the week this week. So if you need anything, you can contact him. You can also contact your staff from the church office. Three names that are in your newsletter this week, but to be reminded of this morning. Phyllis Wilson is in Gastonia right now. Please be remembering the family of Diana Kendrick and also the family of Caleb Ledbetter this week. If you would bow with me to pray. God, we lift up our prayer requests to you for those awaiting the wisdom of doctors and the results of tests, for those who are grieving, and for the rest, all of us, our friends and our families, who are waking up each day and facing the constant challenges that life brings, whatever they may be. Exhaustion, fear, heartbreak, sadness, anger, and the like. Thank you for being the one who knows what our hearts have to say before we ever muster the courage to speak. Hear us and see us, Father. Restore us and renew us as we commit the prayers of our community to you. Thank you for being a God that never tires of hearing us, but also a God that never tires of washing us clean. When your people had failed to live as you called them to live, you sent your Son to do it for them and for us. He showed us how to live and then died to forgive us, even though we would find countless ways to continue to fail at righteous living. And so today we thank you for grace and mercy. May we be a people that truly understands those gifts. May we be a people that stops pointing fingers and passing blame. Would you turn us into people who use our lips and tongues to speak words that give life and invitation, and not the dark, destructive words of shame and judgment? Forgive us for all of the days and moments when we haven't been bestowers of your love, but instead hoarders and violators. And in your incomprehensible goodness, will you let us try again? Remind us that we are the ones you went to the cross to die for. Humble our hearts so that we can love you more freely as you do. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There's a crowd here today, and we are socially distant, so we're okay. So it's good to see all of you here today. We've been in Romans for the last couple of weeks. We're going to be there for a while because there's so much in Romans. It's such a good passage, good book of the Bible to read, and there's just something there every day. And Nicole offered a great prayer. Help us to understand grace. Help us to understand the grace and mercy of God. And so we're going to try to figure that out a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about it today. So the scripture I'm looking at is Romans 3, verses 21 through 26, the words of Paul. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. Through faith in his blood, he did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate the justice, his justice at the present time, so as to be just and one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So, great passage of Scripture, and let's pray together. God, help us to try to understand grace, and help us to be a graceful people because you're graceful to us and forgiving toward us. I pray, Father, that as we struggle with the Scriptures, we'll find understanding, and that we'll understand, most importantly, that Jesus Christ is the good news, the great news, that we are forgiven, and we can live forever, now and in heaven. So, Father, I pray that you'll speak to us today. Help me to slow down in my speech so that I can share some words that will help. I thank you for the worship we've already participated in as we've gathered here together today. Thank you that we're together. And I pray, Father, that we'll learn something and grow together today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. My next to last semester in college was the most difficult ever. It was difficult. I had a manageable course load. It was not that bad. I realized I could take 15 hours and be all right. If I took 17 to 18, I was in trouble. So I took 15 hours. I had some difficult classes I needed to complete. I had to get through accounting and some marketing courses, which I never understood. I worked harder than I ever worked before. I worked harder than I ever worked before because when I went to school, I had to learn how to study because I didn't study that much. So I finally learned how to study, but I'd worked hard. I'd worked very hard. And I failed miserably. I failed miserably. I had to drop courses that semester. Had to salvage what I could of this disastrous term. I had to take summer classes at, and I'm a Clemson guy. I had to take summer classes at the University of South Carolina. Folks, that's confession time there. I had to take them to the University of South Carolina at Spartanburg. Had to take some summer classes. And had to come back for an additional semester in the fall. The summer after that semester, after I'd worked so hard and failed, summer after that semester, God began dealing with me. He began dealing with me, talking to me, speaking to me, speaking to my heart. I felt at peace as I turned that final term over to him. I said, God, you got to get me out of here. And he did. He got me out of there. No, he did not do my assigned reading for me. He didn't say, Andy, here are the notes from the reading I did for you. He did not write any term papers for me. He didn't take quizzes and tests for me. I simply experienced peace when I said, God, I can't do this. You can do it. You can help me get out of here. You can help me finish up my course load. In Romans 3, verse 20, Paul doesn't soften the blow as he delivers the bad news to the Jewish Christians there in Rome. The Jewish Christians in Rome. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Some bad news because they had worked hard. They'd worked hard to be good, to be right with God. Folks, you've been meticulous in keeping all the commands. You've been meticulous. You've done all the work. You've deprived yourselves, Paul says. You've done all these things to try to get right with God. Gone to great lengths to make sure your reputation is spotless before other people, that other people can look at you and say, that's a good person. They do it right. They do it by the book. You've sacrificed normal relationships with people. Because you're so good, many of those you come into contact with are sinful. In your eyes, they're sinful. Therefore, unworthy of any consideration as a friend. You're isolated and you're lonely. It's you and God against the world. And the news is going to get really bad. All this work in developing righteousness, a right relationship with God, is all for nothing. It's all for nothing. Because the law had a purpose, and it has a purpose. It's a gauge, it's a standard to see how bad you are, to see where you fall short. To see how just how where you are on the spectrum, how good you are. All your work at being good is for nothing. You are not in good standing with God. Bad news. And I find that a lot in Romans, a lot of good news, bad news stuff. But you're not in good standing with God after all that work. But then he says there's some good news here. There's some good news here for those who are struggling, those who are fighting and trying to get a right relationship with God. It's possible to get right with God. It's possible to let that happen. This sounds like one of those commercials we see on TV many times. $19.99, you get these two, this offer, and right now, free shipping, and you get two. It sounds like this. Those burdened by fear of God's impending punishment for sin, for those who are burdened because you can't buy your way into heaven by being perfect on your own, there's more. There's more. Verse 21, our righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, which the law and prophets testify. You can be made right. And shipping is free. It's free. It's found in Jesus, God in the flesh. It's found in Jesus, the promised Messiah the prophets talked about. This, you can be made right with God. Case in point, he talked about the prophets. Let's look at what Jeremiah had to say 650 years plus or minus before Jesus. Before Jesus, God spoke through Jeremiah and shared this message that we all need to hear, we all need to recognize, we all need to think about. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was their master. This is the covenant with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put the law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. There's the good news in the Old Testament. I'll forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. The day is coming, Jeremiah said. The day is coming. And Paul is saying the day is here. The day is here. It's happening. It's happening right now. Do you see it? Do you understand it? It's in Jesus Christ. The day is here. Paul is dealing with folks like us, wondering, what are we going to do with sin? We hear about it. We know we experience it. We know we have it in our lives. What are we going to do about it? Dennis Swanberg tells a great story. If you've ever heard him before, he's a hilarious comedian. He tells some great stories. He tells about a story when he was a child. He makes no bones about it. He was wild. He was impulsive, inquisitive, outspoken. And he was in church most of his life when the doors were open. He was there. I was a kid like that, so I relate to him very well. A revival preacher was bringing the word, and he was fired up. I mean, he was really bringing it on. And he was wrapping it up with a rhetorical question. You know, a question where you're not supposed to answer it out loud. And you just kind of internalize that and answer the question. The preacher asked the question a number of times. And young Swanberg tried to lip the answer to the struggling preacher. Tried to tell him the answer to this rhetorical question. But he couldn't get his attention. The preacher said, what shall we do with sin? He got a little bit of that ministerial quiver, which I used to be able to do real well. What shall we do with sin? What do we do with sin? What shall we do with it? And the adults weren't saying anything. They weren't saying anything. And he continued again. What shall we do with sin? He was frustrated. He was a child. He said, somebody's got to help this man. And the young Swanberg heard it one more time, and he tried to make eye contact with him, and he went, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It's a common question of those of us who are seeking a connection with God. We want to please Him. We want to be in good standing. What shall we do with sin? What shall we do with sin? The prophet Micah, in his day, years before Jesus, the people of God encountered the same problem in his day. The question, how do we get right with God? And they asked some very asked some very good questions. Do we bring Him armloads of burnt offerings? Do we bring those to Him? How about calves a year old? Do we bring those to Him? How about thousands of rams, goats, sheep, 10,000 rivers of oil, sacrifices, even the sacrifice of my firstborn child? Will this remove the wall of sin? Will this take it away and make me right with You, God? Will it make me right with You? And he says, no, ritual will not do it. Ritual and just habits will not do it. The scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day took the biblical laws and words of the prophets and created tens of thousands of laws, man-made laws, and determined if one keeps all these laws and obeys them and seeks forgiveness through continual monitoring of their status with God, offering the proper sacrifices when necessary, a person could actually have access to God. It's plain and simple. It's a struggle even today for some. The dilemma of living in faith and being right with God. Some take the route of Micah's people, of Micah's day. Get busy sacrificing, living a miserable life, I'll take every job the nominating committee gives me and do everything in the church. And I will sacrifice my family so that I can be right with you, God. There are a lot of busy Christians out there who are active in the church, but they have nothing but that. They're not living for Him. They're just doing a ritual there, getting busy. I'll give a pile of money to the church. I'll load them up. I'll give them thousands of dollars to the church and not pay my bills. And I'll sacrifice my credit for the kingdom. Let's do that. I'll just get busy for God and spend time just being active while sacrificing time that could be spent in worship and prayer. That's what I'll do. And I'll be right with God. I may just start condemning all the people out there, the terrible sinners out there who are worse than I am. And maybe that will make me right with God. Some seek to bridge the gap between them and God by being meticulous concerning all the rules and regulations. And they become frustrated, judgmental, and superior like the Pharisees. And to be truthful, they aren't pleasant to be around. They're difficult people to be around. They're not happy. And faith is a happy thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. And we need to enjoy the faith that we have because we're forgiven. Paul shares the solution for the one or ones seeking to be on good terms with God. And this is what we need to hear. We want the answer. And we Baptist Christians would take it a step further and say, not only good standing, but the personal relationship with God. The personal relationship with God. We can know Him on a personal basis. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. He is sufficient. The blood of Christ forgives our sins. Get happy. He forgives our sins. Now, I could spend hours talking about the sacrificial system and all of that, but we just have to accept the fact that His grace is sufficient to forgive us of our sins. Believing His sacrifice to pay our sin bill is okay. It's paid. So start living that way. Living a life that would please Him out of gratitude for what He's done for us. Living out of gratitude. That's the way we live. We're grateful for what God's done for us. Not out of guilt. Not out of guilt for my failures. Paul continues. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We all sin and you think you're exempt. And if you think you're exempt, you're deceiving yourselves. We all sin. But all of us sinners are justified freely. And take note that God is not stingy. We're justified freely. And He waits and wants to forgive us. He actually wants to forgive you. He wants to give you the clean slate. And the whole process, sins past, present, and future, are forgiven. That's great news. That's good news. We're free. Don't become slaves to sin. Be free people. There's a scale we can think about here. And this is the way that it works sometimes. At one end of the scale, we have the Corinthians of the Bible. They saw the grace of God as a license to sin. We can do what they did. God, I'm getting ready to do something. I'm forgiven, but you know what? I'm going to do it anyway because you're going to forgive me for it. And I'm sorry, I'll ask your forgiveness and I won't do it again until next Wednesday. You know, we can take advantage of it. We're people looking for loopholes. Looking for loopholes instead of obedience. We all like loopholes. We want something we can get away with. On the other hand, we have the Pharisees who took pride in their goodness. They were right with God because they did everything by the book. We can do that. We can say, look at what I've done. I've got a checklist here. I fed 5 hungry people this week. I read my Bible 7 days. Don't know what I read, but I read it. I was at church whenever the doors were opened. God, you and I have got a great relationship. And He might say, and who are you? The Pharisees did everything right, but they were miserable. And made other people miserable. And their hearts weren't in the right place. And their attitudes of superiority and judgment toward others undid any righteousness they might have achieved because they were so dedicated. Their attitude. We're all located somewhere on that scale. At times we take advantage of God's grace and mercy. And in the process we may hinder the growth of another person. Or hinder our growth ourselves. When we take advantage of the grace and mercy of God. And sometimes we become overly self-conscious, looking at ourselves, and we become legalistic. Oswald Chambers, one of my favorites, in my utmost worst high, says, when we become self-conscious, we lose the touch of God. We lose the touch of God. We start looking at ourselves and saying, I'm so good. Did you see me? We lose the touch of God. Just live life. God, help us to accept the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Can you do that today? Can you just accept it? But we're humans. We've got to do something in return. Can you just accept it and live it out? Make God proud of you. Help us to have a new understanding every day concerning the sufficiency of Jesus to make us right with God. A new understanding every day. Something comes up every day to remind me of that. You're good with Him if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you striving today? Are you tired today? Are you worn out today trying to live the good life and impress other people with your goodness? Do you feel like you and God are not on the same page? Do you feel like you're not on the same page? You're struggling and He's just waiting for you to do something. You can be right with Him today by accepting the gift He gave to you and me. You can be right with Him today. Jesus died that you might have eternal life and an abundant life, a great life. Hebrews 12:2, we read these words. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our faith is focused on Him. Let's pray.
Faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Day be holy thine.
Wonderful grace you've given us. Help us in our faith to look up to you. Help us to see Jesus. Help us to be a graceful people. Help us to live the good life, the wonderful life, because of the good news in Jesus Christ. In His name I pray.
Congregation, we want to thank you for being with us this morning. For those of you who are watching at home, thank you for tuning in and joining us for worship today. We're going to allow Andy to head to the door. We've not been doing that for the past few weeks. I know all of you are missing talking to Andy after worship. He won't shake your hand. He's not going to give you a hug, but he's going to be back there to speak to you and tell you hello. I want to remind you, your deacon of the week is Jimmy Queen, so if you have any concerns this week, you can reach out to Jimmy. And next week, it'll be first come, first serve for worship in the sanctuary. We will still have our overflow in the Family Life Center, so we look forward to seeing all of you next week. Would you join me as we pray? God, we thank you for this time we've had to worship together, God, to fellowship with one another. God, the truths of your word, may they sit in our hearts this week. God, may we be challenged to live out our faith no matter where we find ourselves. God, thank you for this place that we can worship together. God, bless us as we go throughout the week. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.